Hello and welcome to a very special episode of The Laydown. My name is Ryan and I'm very excited to be sharing my interview with Rachel Harrison. Listeners have probably heard me talk about her incredible horror novel, The Return. Rachel Harrison was born and raised in the weird state of New Jersey, her words. She received her bachelor's in writing for film and television from Emerson College. She currently lives in Rochester with her husband Nick and their cat/overlord, Gatsby. Her debut novel, The Return, is one of my favorite recent horror novels. When Julie goes missing, everyone assumes that she's dead, except for her best friend Elise, who never gives up hope that she's out there somewhere just biding her time. 2 years to the day of her disappearance, Julie reappears with no memory of what's happened. Her group of friends decide to go away on a girls' weekend to reconnect and bond, and it becomes very clear right away that something isn't quite right with Julie. Set in an oversaturated, kitschy hotel where every room has its own over-the-top theme and the drinks are flowing, the dread, anxiety, and horror continue to build and the tension never lets up. This is a book that grabs you right from the start and doesn't let go even after you've turned the final page. I had the opportunity to chat with Rachel Harrison back in August, and I am so excited to share that interview with you now. Please enjoy. Hi, Rachel.
Hi, how are you?
thanks for chatting with me today. I'm very excited.
I'm happy to chat with you. Excited to talk to like anybody.
Right. Yeah.
Especially you, but
it's so funny because I read an arc of The Return, it must have been October, maybe November. I had been at a book conference and one of my friends, we were talking about like horror novels and things like that. And it's this like running joke about me that nothing scares me. Like no one can scare me. It's not possible. And my friend was like, you have to read The Return. She was like, I don't care. Drop what you're doing. You have to read this book. And I was like, okay, do you have a copy? Like, so I came home and I got a copy and I read it in one sitting and I was like, this is really good. And it was one of those books where like I put it down and then just like didn't turn out the lights right away. It's like, it's the type of book that just like, it gets in there. It just niggles into your brain. It just gets in there. And then I just reread it again and again did it in one sitting. And then I gave it to my husband and he read it in one sitting and he does not do scary at all. It's just, oh my God, like this, your book just like is so well paced. Like it just really moves along and sucks you in from the start. And it's like, it has so many aspects that I love in a horror novel. Like the, you know, the, like the building dread, right? It's like, it doesn't let you go. And like, you know, the characters who are like, maybe if I just don't acknowledge it, it's not happening. Like,
I feel like that's all of us though. And right? I think one of the biggest criticisms of horror that you see is like, well, if I were in the woods and came across the like bone graveyard, I would turn around. And it's like, no, you wouldn't. And
no, you wouldn't.
Because people don't believe that things can happen to them. Like right. Even I'm like a super high anxiety person. Like I'm always thinking about the worst case scenario. But then when the worst case scenario happens, you're still like, I can't believe this. Because right. You don't, like worrying doesn't protect you. And yeah. I just think yeah. It's interesting to write to right now during the pandemic where like all these people are so deep in denial. Yeah. And it's like, I feel very vindicated as a horror writer to be like, people don't turn around. They go into the haunted house because
They go check the basement. Like
they just do it. That's just human behavior. And we're seeing it now where people like running around without a mask, really rolling the dice there.
Yep. So
I think that it's the characters in my book very much are like bury their head in the sand. But I think that's something that for me, I feel that that's very true to life. And it's easy when you're like on the outside to be like, well, if it were me, I would do this. But it's like, would you though? Would you?
It's like, you totally wouldn't.
you absolutely would not. You would do exactly what these characters do. So I'll get back into that and your characters in a little bit, but I just want to get a little background. So did you always want to be an author? Was that always kind of your life plan?
Kind of. I was a little ham when I was a child. So I was always writing stories, but I always like wanted to be like an actress because like I was very obsessed with like old Hollywood and movies. And I think it was mostly like stories. I was always super attracted to stories, whether it be books or TV or movies, theater. I was a theater nerd in high school. But I went to college and I was going to study marketing because that sounded like creative adjacent, but
yeah,
enough that like my father would give me a blessing to help pay for my degree. And then I was a semester in and I was like, what am I doing? Mm-hmm. And I switched to screenwriting.
Nice.
Cause I was at liberal arts college, Emerson mm-hmm. in Boston. And so I studied screenwriting and I was planning on going into script development. That was kind of my thing. And then my sophomore year, I was in SPEC, which was our like screenwriting club. And they did a script contest. And if you win, you got like a Hollywood agent or whatever, who was an alum. And it was horror. And I was like, I'm so terrified of horror. I have like that weird obsession that like touch and go with it where I'm like, I will read everything about it. Like yeah. I'll read the Wikipedia page before I watch the movie for like emotional support. So I like, I don't like to be caught off guard. But the more I started to kind of like study the genre, and my best friend in college was also like always traumatizing me by showing me scary movies and things like that. The more I got into the genre, the more I was like, oh, you actually love this. You're just like, you've been reluctant to lean into it for whatever reason. And so I actually ended up winning that horror screenplay contest. And I was like, oh, maybe like I'm on the right path. And then things went askew as they do in your 20s. And I was, I didn't want to stay in LA. I came back to the city and I kind of started writing short stories. And eventually I kind of found my way back into horror. And then that's kind of how this novel came about. So it was like a lifelong dream to be able to do something creative and tell stories. But I think the dream sort of changed as I got older. Yeah.
No, that makes sense. It's the sort of like theater and film background makes a lot of sense. Your book is very like theatrical and visual and
there's a lot of dialogue too.
Yeah. Yeah. It does kind of read like a, almost like a script. It's quick, like a movie. It would make such a good movie.
it's actually optioned for TV. So we'll see if happens.
Yes!
I'm kind of hoping that everybody watches all of Netflix and Hulu, and then they're just like, we need new content. So they'll green light it. But I at first was like, yeah, it'd be easy to just plop into that, you know, three act format. But I think a series would be very interesting because they would have more to like play with. But we'll see. TBD.
We'll see. All right. So getting back into The Return, it's not just a horror novel, right? It's also a really interesting look at female friendships. And I wondered if you could talk a little bit about that, about the particulars of this group of friends.
I wanted to write about female friendship and it's within the frame of a horror novel. Mm-hmm. Because I think it's not something that like women talk a lot about like the complexities of their friendship, because it can be misconstrued as like, oh, well, you're not supportive or, you know, you're gossipy or like have it be mean girls. But these relationships are allowed to be fraught and allowed to have issues and like nuance and jealousy. And a lot of that came from my personal life. Because I have a very close group of friends from college. And I think now in these modern times, there's not a straight path. I think, you know, maybe in previous decades, you went to college and then you got married and settled down and had kids and your lives kind of all, for the most part, went on a certain path. And like one of my friends right out of college had a baby and got married and moved to the South. And another of my friends moved to LA. And then there was a few of us in the city working terrible jobs, like just trying to make ends meet and really struggling. And we were all having a lot of problems, but we were reluctant to share with each other and be honest about the things that we were struggling with. And I think that comes from a lot of pressure in society to just be like, no, everything's great. Like, look at these pictures I'm posting on Instagram. Everything's lovely. Like, and so, and I also thought it was weird that like my friend in LA got married and the person she married, I didn't even know.
Wow.
Like, because they're out there and like they meet them and you get to meet them maybe once or twice. And then you show up at their, like I was a bridesmaid at her wedding and I was like, you're, from my perspective, you're basically marrying a stranger.
Yeah.
And so that's really super weird. There were just a lot of things that I was observing that like no one was talking about within the friend group and no one was talking about having a wider conversation in society. It felt like kind of taboo to get into certain issues about that you have with your female friends. So that was basically what I wanted to address in the book. And when I wrote the book, I didn't have an agent. Like I wasn't, I didn't know if it would ever see the light of day. So it was really just for me. And I think another big lingering question in my life was like, when a friendship dissolves, what do you do with those feelings? Because I had a close friend from high school who we were friends since we were children. And then we kind of grew up and grew apart. And like, I still have dreams about her all the time, which is super weird because we haven't spoken in like what's now like almost a decade. But like, there are guidebooks for breakups, romantic, of the like dissolution of romantic relationships. But what about friendship? Like, what happens when somebody you love changes and like you can't save that relationship? And it was something that I thought was like fraught for horror because it's terrifying when you love somebody and then they're just not the same anymore. Or you have this person who you're really close with, but they live so far away. You have no idea what's going on in their daily life. You have no insight. So I wanted to address those things in the book. And that for me took precedent over like how scary it was or like how neatly it fit into the genre. It was more about how do I explore these questions and these experiences and hopefully people could relate to them.
Yeah.
And maybe be scared and entertained along the way.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I think it's so interesting to have it set in a horror genre because I actually think that exploration of the female friendship comes through so much more strongly because it's in a horror novel as opposed to, you know, sort of just like a general fiction. I think because your brain is kind of like almost trying to like ignore the scary things happening. So you dial in so much more on like what's going on with the friends. And like my husband was pointing out all these different things with like, May will get like really offended if they don't love the hotel. I'm like, no, that's like a thing. Like that's like, we do that. We like there's take things really personally.
And in every group.
Yeah.
That's my friend Courtney. I call her the nucleus of our friend group because everyone will put it on her to plan things. And then she'll be like, all right, I picked the restaurant. And someone will be like, well, I don't want to go to this restaurant. And she's like, what are you talking about? But I feel like that group dynamic is really complicated.
Yeah.
Again, like maybe this is specific to me, but I feel like it can't just be my group of friends where it's like there are certain dynamics and each friendship within the group is different and has its own inside jokes. And like, it's just totally. There's so much there. And I think the horror just kind of, the great thing about horror is it just, whatever conflict is there, it just dials it up to like a 10.
Yeah.
And that's what I learned when I was writing the horror screenplay back in college. I was like, oh, there's so much conflict. It's the best. Like, that's why I love to play in the horror genre because it just, elevates everything, all of the dread and tension, like it just dials it up.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Everything is heightened. And we have to talk about the setting because I am obsessed with the inn that they stay at. It is totally its own character in the book. I love the juxtaposition of like all of this like really creepy stuff, all of these like fraught, like tense situations happening in this like super oversaturated, completely absurd, amazing hotel. Where did that come from? Like, why that setting?
So I like stumbled upon the Madonna Inn, which is in California. I'd never been, but like I saw some pictures online and I was like, this is my idea of heaven. Like yeah. I love that kind of like borderline gaudy, but like glamorous kind of like feels very vintage. And I live on the East Coast, so I can't just like drop everything and go.
Right.
So,
yeah.
Instead I sort of was like, why don't I use this as a setting? And I just thought like, what if The Shining was set at the Madonna Inn? Like, what if the Overlook was like pink and gaudy and glittery and like just so extra? And so that was kind of the like seed of the idea. And I don't remember how it all came together. I wish I did. I started writing the book in February of 2018. Mm-hmm. But I write very early in the morning. So I can't like remember an epiphany moment where I was like, yeah, a horror novel about female friendship set in like a gaudy overlook. I don't remember that, but mm-hmm. I definitely, all those things were at play when I came up with the like concept for the book. But yeah, so I basically took the Madonna Inn and was like, I can't go on vacation, but I can use my imagination. There you go, kids.
So right?
2020, use your imagination. It's all we have.
That's it. That's all we got. Oh my God. I love it so much. Yeah, it's one of my my favorite selling points about the book because that juxtaposition is so good. It's like, and again, like even looking at the cover, like this like neon vibrant pink, right? But it's like, it's a scary book. And so it's just like, oh, it's just so much fun to like smash things together and be like, again, I think it kind of like things are elevated both because it's like a horror genre. So that elevates like the tension. And then it's like the hotel is like super kitschy and like oversaturated and crazy, and like that elevates the horror, and like yeah, it's just
they
I
just
love
play
it
off each other. Yeah,
it totally plays off each other. Yeah. Yeah, I love that. So you are a horror fan obviously, and you've kind of talked about that a little bit. Mm-hmm. I'm curious, are there any sort of like specific horror influences that have really like stuck with you?
So I think growing up, I always watched The Twilight Zone. And again, like I'm so affected by horror. Like I remember watching Eye of the Beholder, mm-hmm. And just being like traumatized for weeks about it. But I think because it traumatized me, it really like left a mark. And I like, my mom used to show me like crazy movies that I shouldn't have been watching so young. I'm appreciative now, but like I saw Jaws when I was like very small child. And so like certain things, and then they stick with you. So they kind of loom in your brain. But as I got older, I would definitely say Stephen King, mm-hmm. The Shining, I call like the drunk uncle to this book. Yes. And, while I was reading this book, I read The Shining and I read Dr. Sleep back to back to kind nice. Of like, I liked when I'm working on something, I like to read something that's kind of in the same lane. And then Hill House, Shirley mm-hmm. Jackson, mm-hmm. Is obviously the queen of the genre. Mm-hmm. So I think those for this book in terms of horror, those were the strongest influences in that vein. But I like to say that this book was like Stephen King, Shirley Jackson, and then like Judy Blume and Ann Patchett, because yes. Truth and Beauty is, in my opinion, one of the best books about female friendship that exists. Mm-hmm. And then Summer Sisters is another one that's like a really great female friendship book. So those kind of were my, I would say, like my four pillars of influence for the book.
That's, yeah, absolutely. I love that. Are you reading anything right now?
Yeah, I'm reading Cirque Berserk by Jessica Guest.
Nice.
It's so fun and it's like a throwback, but it's original at the same time. So I'm really excited. I'm about halfway through that. It's been such a great year for books, especially horror. I just read Survivor Song and The Only Good Indians. Catherine House is one of my favorites of this year by Elizabeth Thomas. That's kind of like horror adjacent. And I just can't say enough good things about that book. And then I have Mexican Gothic on the docket.
Me too.
And then I also got, I'm thinking of Ending Things because they're making the adaptation for Netflix. Charlie Kaufman was adapting that book, which I was like, what? So now I have to read it before the Netflix. It's got like Toni Collette and Jesse Plemons. It's like got like a crazy cast and it's Charlie Kaufman. So I was like, okay.
Oh, I'm so excited.
Read the book first, Rach, and then you can enjoy. Yeah. So luckily I've been, had plenty of time. Time that I would normally spend with friends or out in the world. I've just been reading. It was a little bit slow at the start of the pandemic where I was just like, I cannot read words. But now I think I read Normal People by Sally Rooney. I hadn't read her before. And that sort of like kind of reignited my spark. And then since then I've read a whole bunch. I'm very proud of myself.
Yeah. No, I had a very similar like very early on that brain fog. I just couldn't. I was like, I would read the same paragraph 27 times and be like, I can't do this right now. I don't even remember what book it was that sort of like broke through, but something was able to, I like read it. Oh, you know what it was? I reread the entire Hunger Games ahead of
the new one. Yeah.
And it like went down so easily because I'd already read it. And like, because it's like very sort of like simplistic YA. And I just was like, okay, now my brain remembers how to read. Yeah. And I was able to like get
all
back.
All it takes is like the one breakthrough book. I feel like a lot of people have mentioned that where they were like, I couldn't read at the beginning and then something unlocked it for me. So if you're having trouble, keep trying.
Just keep trying. Do audiobooks. That really helped. I crushed a bunch of books that way. All right. So what's next for you? Are you working on anything or just kind of enjoying quarantine?
I am editing my second book.
Yay.
So yeah. I don't really, there wasn't like an official announcement, but like it's happening. Yeah. So
that's awesome.
I think right now, October 2021, tentatively could change. Hopefully I'm doing a good job with edits. Edits I find very stressful.
I've heard edits are like the hardest part.
Yeah. And it's weird because with The Return, I had a full-time job. Mm-hmm. I was working at a big bank in the city. So like I would like during lunch be like up and like trying to concentrate in the cafeteria. And now like I'm just home. I don't have a job right now other than writing. So it's a little less stressful, but it's almost like this is all you have to do. So like get it done. but yeah, so I'm excited for that book. And luckily I've like read it 4,000 times because I'm editing it and I'm not sick of it yet.
That's a good sign.
It's different and I feel challenged as an artist. So hopefully it's weird and it's a little different from The Return, but if you like kind of the crazy setting and strong female characters and all that, there should be plenty for you to enjoy. So
awesome.
I'm excited about it.
That's very exciting. Cool. I think that's all I have for you. Thanks again so much for sitting down with me and chatting horror and chatting The Return.
Literally anytime. This has been so lovely. and yeah, thank you so much.
Thanks again to Rachel Harrison for taking the time to chat with me. The Return is available in paperback now, so do yourself a favor and pick up this deliciously creepy novel. A reminder about our partnership with Libra FM. Our listeners who are new to Libra FM can receive 3 digital audiobooks for the price of 1 credit by using the code LAYDOWN at checkout when they start a new membership. It's a fantastic deal that you should absolutely take advantage of. You can email us about the podcast at thelaydownpodcast@gmail.com. Our website is gibsonsbookstore.com, and we're also on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook, and we'll put those links in the show notes along with all of the books that were mentioned during this episode. Thank you all so much for listening. Don't forget to subscribe so you'll know when we upload our next episode, and consider leaving us a nice review. Until next time, we'll see you in the stacks. Bye!